And it is 12:30 here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And just in time, John Morrow has joined me on Zoom for Bureaucracy Now! I'd like to welcome my co-host, Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, to our weekly chat about all things Port Townsend-y. And
Thank you, John.
I'm glad you made it.
I like giving you kind of the cliffhanger.
Well, that was exciting.
Like 30 seconds between meetings sometimes, it gives me all of the time to close my door after the last person left and we had a good conversation. So
is the door closed?
I only do that because if people want to listen, they can tune in to KPTZ.
Right.
And otherwise, I want the team to do the work that they set out to do.
And not be, yeah. So we can gossip now about them because nobody else can hear us. Oh, wait, no.
The entire town, because everyone tunes in. They set their watch to this show at 12:30.
I think people who really, the folks who care about, you know, what is going on in Port Townsend, and I know several of them, and I know they do set their watch by this, and I know they're listening now. So hey,
oh, well, hello everybody.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to start as I understand you recently had a kind of a thumbs up attaboy from your bosses at City Council.
Yeah, I suppose that's a way of.
Well, I didn't want to. I thought that was a good way to do it. Let me just back up and for those who do not set their watches by Bureaucracy Now, and explain that in our form of city government here, we have a city council, and the city council hires a professional city manager who then, much like the CEO of a corporation, then runs the bureaucracy. Get that right.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah. Now you got me with the wrong name.
To rock.
Right. Yeah. And so you then report as the city manager to those folks. And so I'd heard that they gave you now almost 3 years on the job have given you a thumbs up and the reason I brought it up, John, is I wanted to say personally thank you.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and for taking the time to talk of us to us, for speaking with clarity, for really explaining things to us that we might not otherwise understand, helping us understand the details of what goes on with city government. I think that's it's a great opportunity. So like City Council, thumbs up, John. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know what? People might not leave this show any wiser, at least from what I contribute. I think they listen for you, Taylor, but at least there's an intent to inform and be accessible. I think that's the thing. Feel free to lob your criticism and send me an email, give me a call. It is my job to listen to what people have to say, but the intent is to swirl it into one big directional path forward for this community, for the common good. And that's hard, but it's kind of all hands on deck. It actually takes more than just one person like me. So join me and let's steer this ship to the right destination, which might be right where we are. But hopefully in the future, it'll be even better.
And that's a good time to remind folks that right now you can email if you have a question, if you want to contribute to this discussion. We really would love to hear from you.
We would.
DJ@kptz.org would be how you'd get questions on the air, hopefully right away.
Yes, so it's instantaneous. I mean, the thing people understand that Taylor's doing right now, he's talking to a live audience on the radio at the same time hosting a live Zoom meeting and looking at emails coming in to talk to you right now.
So I can juggle also.
It's kind of amazing. And sometimes your dog's in the background and doing some sort of fantastic thing against the window.
He is here. Yeah.
The weather report,
he's out the weather window. He looks longingly at the city dog park.
Yes.
And then he reminds me that he doesn't have a Port Townsend dog license. So I've outed myself now.
And, oh, God.
Well, he lives on Whidbey Island. I'm just going to.
Okay. Yeah. It's lawless over there. Here, we're civilized over here.
Oh, it is. It's the Wild West over on Whidbey Island. At least it has been traditionally, you know, particularly in the unincorporated county. is I believe it was a sport, you know, putting up houses without permits and certainly putting in buoys without permits and all the other things that, you know, hunting crabs without permits.
I'm trying to parlay that into like what's happening right now at least from City Hall perspective, kind of maybe just updating listeners on that kind of a big week for budget and, you know, a suite of workshops at City Council.
Well, we did a week ago. We have a question, by the way.
Oh, good.
And do you want to take it right away? It's the third rail of Port Townsend politics.
Oh, perfect. I love third rails.
You know what that is. It's, when is the city going to address the deer in the city limits? And I think this is on the work plan, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look, you know, this is the thing. Like, I don't like to say yes and then not know how to get to yes. And so, unfortunately, people have learned that sometimes they get a no or a maybe or not now. And so I try to be honest about that because it's better than leading people on.
Yeah.
And I'll do the same thing with deer because we are still challenged by lack of capacity. And, you know, there's the priorities we have to decide, like we tried to do at the council workshop on Monday, mm-hmm. about what we're going to do next year. Mm-hmm. That said, to our dear listener, get it? dear listener, we have this on the draft work program for next year. And
you're going to have to explain. You're going to have to explain. I'm going to hold a bit. Yeah. What the direct work program is.
So for next year, we kind of take a strategic look at what we're doing for the next year, and frankly, for a little bit further than that. And we do so with an eye for not just like what each department does, but with an eye for synergies and, you know, moving forward our priorities as a community. And this work plan that was developed in July with council and department directors includes deer management. And in anticipation, and maybe this is me getting too far over the skis here, but anticipation of us being able to do that work, because it means hosting meetings and having maybe a task force and doing some work and working through some policy. I actually did get in touch with the state fish, you know, Department of Fish and Wildlife, because they are integral to this effort because they have jurisdiction over the deer and they have the tools and actually some of the know-how for us to bring into this conversation. And if you are interested in deer, I think on December 12th, which is probably the last council meeting of the year, and it's a workshop session. Tentatively, we have a presentation on deer management scheduled, anticipating that being something that we do in 2023, and actually having the State Department of Fish and Wildlife here to talk about it directly with listeners and attendees at City Council. So come to the December 12th meeting of council, and we'll be talking about deer.
That's actually way more than we've ever heard about deer before. And,
and I could talk about code enforcement and deer. We've got a number of exciting things happening there, but maybe that's best left for another time. But, you know, it's just one of those things. We consider this part of a category that was roughly like, you know, resolve our persistent community's challenges, you know, or our community's persistent challenges.
It has for a long time been on the we want it, you know, pie in the sky. We'd like to do something, but we really have no idea how we're going to do it or how we're going to fund it or anything. But it sounds like it has filtered down a little bit from that level.
Yeah. We're actually sizing it up. Now, what will it mean and what do people want? Well, I mean, it's my belief, if we really want to dig in here and get our hooves on the ground on deer, I don't think I've ever said those words together before. So just for everybody's knowledge. You know, it does require
taking the buck by the horns there.
Yeah, they're actually antlers, Taylor.
The buck stops here. All right.
Okay. This is going to be really fun. I'm going to take this metaphor further.
All right.
But in seriousness, what we probably need to do, and I did consult with Fish and Wildlife on this, we need to define the problem first, because there's a number of solutions we can do. It's like any issue. There's lots of things and interventions we can do or we can do with the state's help. But if we don't agree what the problem is, we might be pulling into different directions. And I think that is probably the most important thing to do. You know, one might say that deer are a problem for gardens. I agree. I'm with you on that one. One might say deer are a problem for safety, traveling in a vehicle or even a bicycle or even on foot. I agree. Mm-hmm. One might say deer are just overpopulated and it's not kind to have so many of them. Sure, I agree. Mm-hmm. But let's fuse all of that problem statement into what we collectively agree to be the problem. And then we can start talking about what we collectively think the right solution is. So just to foreshadow that approach, we'll probably want to get a task force together and a group of residents who have some perspectives that we want to mingle together to figure out how we want to move forward. So, of course, the state will need to be with us the whole time because they have the arsenal of tools to sort of lob at the problem. And we can't do that out of partnership with the state.
Well, and I would anticipate that, you know, for every solution, you're going to find proponents and opponents to the solution. And yes. And that's going to make it difficult.
Yes. The community will have my hide no matter what we do. But you're right. I think that's the challenge. I mean, any problem at a local government level or any you know, community level, there's not going to be 100% agreement. But the way we try to build in engagement to the, you know, point of a decision is really helpful to at least have people understand the rationale, you know. And I go to the Sims Gateway, you know, taking down poplars is not necessarily popular.
Yes.
But after we work through the problem for, you know, 380 days with as many people as we will, you know, as we can hold and who want to join us, we work through those challenges. So it's understood that the direction actually makes sense, and it might not be popular. It might not be ideal. But given the circumstances, we work through a process where we get to an answer, and we'll need to do that for deer too.
Yeah. All right. So the short answer to the question of when is the city going to address deer is come to the December 12th meeting.
Yes. Which and it's not a promise that'll happen in 2023, but that is the intent right now.
That would be a place to come and voice your opinion.
Yes.
And
yes.
Okay. Wow, great question. I actually thank you, and I'm going to. I like that question enough. I'm going to encourage, remind you, DJ@kptz.org.
Yeah,
we're without an extra guest this week. So
that's true. I just brought like 4 fawns that were born in my yard this morning, but they're out back. I'm just kidding. it's a visible reminder.
Right. And you know, and I think that's, you know, some of the reason that there are so many different opinions, because, you know, on one hand, fawns are just adorable.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's hard to get upset about deer when you see fawns, you know, even if you're picking spotted pelt out of the front of your car. But on the other hand, the bucks in the fall with their tongues hanging out of the sides of their mouth because there's actually something wrong with them because they have a genetic disease. They have some sort of genetic defect that causes that to happen. Those guys are kind of scary.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not to be messed with. And, you know, I occasionally get a close encounter, say,
when
on my morning run in the dark.
When you're running. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, legitimately, you should not get near an animal that weighs more than you and has sharp things on its head. Like that's just a word of advice for anybody who might not make that connection.
There's your KPTZ tip for the day, and I will bring that to our news producer so he can add it to the news.
You're most welcome. We'll roll out the PSAs next week.
Okay.
I'm sorry about the podcast feel to this. This is like a little unusual. I feel like I haven't had lunch and I had way too much coffee and I've got a lot on my plate.
And you've had COVID. I see you're back in your office though.
Yeah. I'm all better.
Good.
And I'm really grateful for, you know, the jabs that I got to make sure that I didn't really have a big problem, and a bit of luck, I think, because I don't think it's clear what happens to who and why. But yeah, I'm back in action. It's like day 13 or 14, and I'm not contagious. I'm not testing positive, and I'm really grateful that I get to do my job now again.
Yeah. How long do you have to wear the mask in meetings?
Well, it's the guidance locally is 5 days, you know, away from everybody, which is why I worked from home all last week.
Right.
And 5 days with a mask, which is why I wore a mask on Monday night.
Monday,
at council.
I saw
that. That was about day 10 or 11, I think it was 11. And then now, you know, especially testing negative, there's no requirement after 10 days of wearing a mask.
Oh, good.
So I'm back at it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not wearing a mask, but I feel safe because he's actually on the other side of the glass that forms the front
you
of
might
my computer.
Feel safe, Taylor. But
right.
Maybe it's a good chance to shout out to folks. I mean, I know a lot of my friends and people I deeply care about who have just gotten over COVID, who
right.
I don't or, think or are, by association with me or are currently sick or actually dealing with long COVID. And it's not something to, I mean, I feel grateful that I'm not feeling as poor as I did last week, but there are some people that are really struggling. So let's make sure we help people who might need our help. They might need a special delivery, a grocery run. I mean,
right.
Dozens of people offered that to me, and luckily we could click online and have them, you know, pick it up at the curb, which is what we did. But, you know, if you could help somebody who needs it right now, please do.
That's a good reminder. The other reminder would be, and this came home to me when I actually looked at my COVID vaccination card and realized it had been 10 months since since my booster. Yeah. And there are now the bivalent booster is out that you can't have it because you have to wait 4 months.
No, I had it on my, like, I got the text message right when I tested positive that you are now eligible for the bivalent Omicron vaccination. It was like, oh, that's perfect timing.
Yeah, but the bivalent is available, and it's available here. It's available at Safeway. I think it's available at QFC down in Port Hadlock, and I think QFC here in town, and I'm getting mine tomorrow.
Yeah, get it with your flu shot. It's, you know, it's looking pretty gorgeous out there, but we all know that winter is going to eventually come. It might be October, November, but we'll get it at some point.
Okay.
Can I lob a teaser for next Monday's council meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like I got to talk about something serious. Let's talk capital facilities plan. Does that all those words, does that kind of get your blood flowing?
Okay, I'm gonna back up and say Monday's meeting is a business meeting, so you're actually gonna vote on things and pass things.
That's correct. Yeah. So it's a business meeting. There's a number of things on the docket. The big focus, because I want to highlight this because it's a really great example of doing things differently and doing things together. And it might sound wonky, and you know what? It is. It's a plan that's going to be 50 pages. It's going to have a bunch of charts and a bunch of, you know, numbers. And it might not be scintillating as a read. But what it represents is an all hands on deck from all departments at the city to look over the next 6 years strategically about the investments we want to make in every category, what's funded, what's not funded. And we've never really done it like this before. And I'm really proud of my team, almost exclusively without my help or guidance, of taking this on and shaping up a crowdsourced document that will debut at council on Monday. And it might not look like a masterpiece to those who might not care about capital facilities, but it actually is one. And it puts us in a better place as a community for knowing why we're investing in what we're investing and getting everything on the list and actually being eligible for grant funding because it's on that list.
Explain that part of it. Is having a capital facilities priority list help with grant funding?
Yeah. There are some things that we cannot even be eligible for because it's not on an agreed or point or plan that's pointed to in a document. Mm-hmm. Not that it's just an exercise and, you know, ticking boxes to make it happen, but legitimately it means that you've thought through what your priorities are, whether it be streets, economic development, sewer, facilities, parks, whatever it is. And actually for this plan, it's all of those things. And what you want to fund, when, and for how much. And the team's done the work, and it's not, you know, precise by the penny estimates, you know, mm-hmm. here, but for this next year, it's pretty darn close. Mm-hmm. For year six, it might not be, but you can get a sense as a community of how great our needs are, how well the team's been doing in attracting funding from outside sources, mm-hmm. and how much further we have to go. And literally it's been an all hands on deck. It's been library director, public works director, planner, you know, attorney, finance director. I mean, everybody's participated in this. And so I'm really proud of the team for coming together and actually taking a step forward in how Port Townsend does this.
So this will be a presentation by staff at the council meeting. And this document, is it up already online for the,
It will be when the packet comes online, which is likely very shortly. In fact, it should be there later this afternoon.
So it'll be within the packet. So
it will be, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And for folks who don't know, I can tell you just because I happen to know how to find the packet. So it's cityofpt.us, and then look for city council, and yeah. It's sort of down there under calendar, agenda. And then there's usually a place where you can download the document. And if you're like me, what you're going to want to do is download the document and then sort of look through it and then hope that at the upfront in this large document is a little summary that is easily digestible by, for the amateur.
Yeah. Okay. Good suggestion. In fact, you will find such a thing. And there's like an introduction that explains why. And actually, an agenda bill, which is how we write the kind of, dear council, this is what this subject is about, and here's your attachment. It's 2 pages. It's pretty easy reading. You know, it's like, here's why we're doing this and here's what it is. And then if you want to read the detail, you can. So I'm not pretending this is for everybody, but I do think we all stand to gain from learning how we invest in, you know, if you care about stormwater or parks or streets or facilities or buildings or whatever, you got to care about one of them at least. This is how the magic happens. And well, how we,
you're right. We discussed that last week, and it's worth bearing in mind that, that, you know, the budget doesn't sound sexy, but the budget is where we separate what we'd like to do with what we can do.
Yeah.
And you're, this is part of the budgeting process. This is looking forward and in a long range or a medium range fashion and saying, this is where we'd like our capital expenditures to be headed. So that's
it. And we're required by the state for growth management reasons to do this, but we haven't, I'll just be honest, we haven't done it very well in the past.
Yeah.
And so we want to take a step forward because, you know, it's like, I don't know, basically like fail to plan to fail. I mean, the better we plan for the future, you know, sort of the more well off each step will be in that direction. So have a look, tell us what you think. You know, we'll keep getting better at it as we go.
Oh, in fact, you're inviting public feedback on this too.
Oh, of course. At every city council member, anybody can come and speak about anything they would like for at least 3 minutes.
Actually, I don't even think they have to come and speak. I can send an email to...
You absolutely can. Yeah, you can zoom in and do it remotely. You could send an email. You could walk in the building.
Yeah, sending an email gets it, though. If you send it ahead of time, then it can go in. It's then read into the record, and it's part of the packet.
It's part of the packet. We no longer read every word of the emails that come in because sometimes it would take many, many hours. Yep. But I know for a fact that council members read those comments.
I know for a fact they do too. So, yeah. Let me just, we only have about 3 minutes left, and I forgot to mention halfway through that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now on KPTZ. But I just thought I'd ask, you know, this is the what do you see around town, and I know people see things, and then they want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
What's happening down in the water there with the, it looks like it's a sewer pump station, because it smells like it.
Oh, yeah.
And we
might have talked about this, might have been right before you came back, but the Gaines Street pump station right near the Wells Fargo area.
Yeah.
So that's not getting close to being done there. We had a, it's a pump station. We pump sewage uphill from there at the low point, and it is crumbling, and you could actually put your finger in the concrete, and it's like soup. And so that's a problem. And it required an engineering solution, which was a liner, instead of rebuilding the whole thing, which would have been multiple millions of dollars.
Right.
We did a little value engineering and thought, how can we continue to preserve this asset for 20 more years with as minimal investment as we can, because we don't want to spend the gold-plated, you know, amount. And we dropped the liner in there, or the contractors did. There were some challenges that the team had to work through, which we don't need to get into, which it was just great that the ingenious engineering types can figure out. And usually when you figure it out, you save a ton of cash. And if you don't, you start to hemorrhage money. So I'm really glad that they figured it out. But we dropped the liner in there to basically repair that concrete that was kind of falling apart. And it should be done relatively soon. The businesses are still open.
I noticed that too. Yep.
The road end is still closed. But
it's not closed for walkers. And
no, that's right.
Because I walk that way. Yeah.
I said this too. I mean, when I had a meeting out there at Breakwater just the other day with Aaron Berg, the executive director, and you can walk up and see what's happening there with some marvelous work on the breakwater. You can't drive there, but you can certainly walk over and have a look.
Oh, with the new breakwater down at Point Hudson. Yeah, I stood down there and got to watch them. You know, it's a lot like being a child. You know, you watch the big clamshell thing come down and they pull out big rocks and, you know, rotted timbers. And it's very exciting, the progress they're making.
Yes, and weather helps.
The weather helps. And this is it's supposed to be done by the next year, right?
I don't want to get ahead and announce anything from the port in their timeline, but they're doing well, I think, suffice to say.
Yeah, no, that's very encouraging. I just wanted to mention from the standpoint of the sewer pumping station down there, because I always found this interesting. You know, I grew up in Seattle, and Seattle, when I grew up, had a terrible problem with sewage in the lake. And the reason they had a problem with sewage in the lake is they had combined sewer outfalls. And even though they were pumping, when they had a storm, it would overflow. But the reason that they ran down there is that before you pumped it, they just ran the sewage right into the Sound and right into the lake, and that was it. And that's, I'm certain, what Port Townsend did, which is why then they put a pump station in there and ran it all out to North Beach, where there's a sewage treatment plant. Yeah, so presumably some of that infrastructure is easily 100 years old, 120 years, 150.
Yeah. I mean, I think the pump station was rebuilt about 20 years ago.
Well, the pump station, stuff coming into it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even until recently, the entire town or city of Victoria was just releasing sewage into the Sound.
They have built a plant now.
They have, but not too long ago. And of course, you know, we treat water to almost class A, you know, not quite drinkable, but pretty darn close, winning awards multiple years. And just across the way, you know, at some point there was no treatment. You know, it's quite a big difference, and it's the same body of water. So I'm encouraged to see some improvements there from other jurisdictions. And I'm glad that we do well to stay out of trouble there. We have a world-class facility, and it's old and it will need repair and replacement eventually, but the team does an awesome job, and they will continue to do so.
You see me reaching away because I just looked at the time and we're about out of time. This is when we put on our musical hats.
Yeah, well, let me before you do that, let me at least announce that next week I will have a guest. So those who have been hungering for more than my voice, you will hear voices of Mayor David Faber.
Oh, excellent.
And you'll also hear the voice of Carrie Height, our director of park strategy. And we'll be talking about some open houses on the golf course in Mountain View campus that will be happening very soon.
That sounds like a good topic for next week.
Yeah.